Materials. My name is Mark, so that must mean it's an out-of-character episode. I normally play Geege, the human fighter paladin, in the regular game, but today it's not that. So let's see who's with us.
Hey, my name is Winter, and I usually play the elf druid Sariel.
Hi, my name is Amanda, and I normally play Galena, or sometimes Iria, and tonight I am myself.
Nice. It's good to be yourself.
What's up? I am Eric, and that's all that's happening tonight. Just Eric.
But who are you normally?
Oh, right. Normally, I am Sten, though. But not tonight. Just Eric.
Nice. Just Eric.
And James.
I'm James. I am normally a GM, but now I am a voice, and that's it, I guess.
He is just a sentient voice.
No, not really. I'm
a voice coming to you in the midnight.
Oh my god, that's amazing. Sorry, I got a little excited there.
It's okay.
This is what it's like listening to you every single game.
Well, I appreciate it. See, I don't get to experience that.
Do I need to do my Eric impression at some point? I've been trying to hold off on it.
You have an Eric impression? I wasn't aware of this.
It's also not very good. This.
I don't have the I can go deep, but I don't have the, like, I can't peak in your voice like you normally do because it's your voice. In any case, Molly will not be joining us today because she's probably doing some lame, normal human thing instead of devoting time to doing pretend magic fights.
By the way, I do want to amend my earlier comment. I actually am normally Eric, for what it's worth, like in, you know, the normal course of my life. I would not say I am normally Sen.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, that makes sense.
Just in case anyone was confused.
I'm more confused now than I was before.
Some of us use our regular names all the time.
Yeah, I'm still confused. But anyway, we fought a big old dragon. It didn't kill us, despite our not really preparing for it, really.
It got close, though.
It definitely got... We got kind of lucky, I think. We got, like, very lucky, actually.
I'm going to unceremoniously give myself a pat on the back and say, yes, as Geege, I am really the best at getting my ass kicked. I'm kind of incredible at it.
I feel like Sariel gives you a run for your money.
Well, Sariel gets knocked out, but Geege is very good at getting his ass kicked and not dying and more ass kickings and still not dying.
Yeah, that's accurate.
Quantity over quality. I got it.
Yeah.
Well, there's also that you are actually trying to get your ass kicked in some sense.
Right.
So it is a good, yeah, it's sort of a...
My goal is to get in there, get hit real good, and let you guys hit them in the process. As where Sariel turns into a large target and then gets hit. And it's not exactly your goal. I mean, do you want to try and make a case to say that you're better at getting beat up on Winter?
No, I'd say you're definitely better at it.
Yeah.
You are, like, kind of our frontline tank, though, so there is that.
That's my job. Yeah, we forgot to use our water, though I thankfully remembered right in the nick of time and got, you know, roasted and barely held it together.
It's true. In the future, it's never a bad idea to buff up before a fight. Although you do occasionally run into the situation like when you ran into the kobolds initially where you buff up and then you run out getting ready to like scrap. And then they're just like, hey, what's up? How you doing?
It's like, oh, you're friends.
Right. And then you've chugged the one healing potion in the world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I joke about the 99 potions thing, but like I legitimately have a hard time using consumables. Spells are different. We should definitely be using spells. But like, God, if I had one of those strength potions, I would be like cradling that to the grave.
We burned through quite a few consumables in that dragon fight.
It's true.
Yeah.
When like a blast of flame almost kills like everyone in the party, that is the point at which my paranoia over consumables goes away and I would chug them relentlessly.
You were so lucky. It went two rounds without recharging.
Recharging what? Oh, the fire breath?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, is that random?
It rolls at the beginning of every round, D6, and if it rolls a 5 or 6, it can breath again.
Oh my god, that's terrifying.
And so the round that you killed at Sten, I just like rolled the D6 for funsies, and it recharged, and I was like, aw.
You son of a bitch. All of our friends would have died. That was sad. You know, I can't believe they made it out, and to such a glorious end as well.
Yeah, and you know what? Credit to us for keeping the kobolds alive.
The benefit to that, you get an easy exit and also a dragon friend.
It's true. I like having a dragon friend.
What is his name? Velarus?
Vylrus.
Vylrus. He is the coolest dragon, I think, ever in the entire world. Guiding Wind became a really cool guy. His dragon puberty was very good to him. So if he had died and we were not successful, does that mean Eden would not have become like dragon blood born wizard subclass?
Since she's not here, I will sort of explain for her. Eden and I have been talking for a little while about her class and how she feels about it. And I was discussing the other options within Sorcerer, and she seemed to really like Dragonblood Sorcerer. So I was like, okay, maybe sometime in the near future there will be a possibility that you can change into that. And that's what we did. And at the very beginning of the episode, when she was talking about cosmetics, that's what I cut her off about and said, nope, you can't talk about that now.
Yes, I figured.
Mechanically, what does that mean for Eden's character?
She's tougher. She has higher AC just naturally. Her skin is armor in and of itself. Cool. She is elementally affiliated even more so now and just does more lightning damage whenever she does lightning-y things.
Mm-hmm.
Those who are familiar with D&D will cry foul when I said that the white dragon was shooting lightning.
Yeah, I was wondering about that too, actually.
I just have different dragons, guys.
Fair enough, fair enough. You got your own homegrown dragons.
The only dragon that is a straight D&D dragon are red dragons. All the other dragons are different. Like, black dragons are more like Tarrasques, and blue dragons are more like sea turtle kind of things.
What is a white dragon normally?
White dragons are frost. Like eastern dragons. Right. They are frost dragons, but they're okay. All the same body shape, and they're all evil, and they're all, like, intelligent and, like, plot against each other constantly.
Oh, so they're like weird gods. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The game I ran in my youth, my players were very upset that I made the green dragons also breathe fire. Because, frankly, poison is bullshit. That is just the lamest breath. That's just a dragon should not be breathing like some, like, little cloud of, like,
deluxe fart gas?
Yeah, it just isn't right. It just isn't right. It's just wrong.
I agree. It doesn't evoke the same terror
It's true.
Even black dragons breathe, like, in the normal D&D, breathe acid.
Yeah, yeah. Also lame. Not quite as lame, I don't think, as poison, but fairly lame.
Mm-hmm.
So how did we all feel about that fight? I mean, I'm just genuinely surprised. I thought at the very least, Gish would go down, especially since I pulled the feather, and I didn't get a good feather pull, and then I lost control and started to bite the dragon. So I thought Gish was going to go down. At the very least, that didn't happen. Let's go through our current order in the TS, and then I'll do James last. What do you think, Eric? What was your thoughts?
I thought we were going to die. Like, I was genuinely like, this is going to have to be a redo. This is James punishing us for being stupid. And that probably is true. That's what it was. it was. You know it was. We got the message. No, but like, I mean, honestly, like right up until like the round that Steden killed it, like I didn't expect that to happen. And that only happened just because of like, we finally started, you know, throwing buffs around.
And then you summoned a horrible demon to help us.
The horrible demon. Yeah. Yeah.
That horrible demon did a lot of damage and gave Sten advantage on all of his attacks.
Yeah.
At the end.
Yeah. Yeah. It was kind of clutch. Some clutch demon throwing.
Oh my God. Clutch.
Yes. That's right.
That's a football term, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a sports thing.
Oh.
What did you think it was?
I heard that for the first time 2 weeks ago, and I was like, what does this mean?
Did you think that's what the kids are saying these days?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Wait, no, you didn't think it was... Not... Wait, like I was going to say, did you think it was an automotive term? Because it is an automotive term.
It's funny, because I thought, when you started saying clutch, I was like, is that like an old person term or something? So no, it is definitely not what the youths are saying. I mean, they may also be saying it. I think they are, but everyone says it.
So you thought we were all going to get wrecked, but how do you feel otherwise?
Are you about the fight itself or just everything?
Yeah, the fight.
I mean, I'm glad we won, and it turned out bittersweet. We won, but it feels kind of lucky, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like we dodged a bullet that we frankly deserved. But I'm glad.
That's what it's like when you're hanging out with Iria usually.
Fair enough. What are you growling about?
Iria's just so much trouble. So much trouble. Anyway.
Taylor Swift is in the background when Geesh sees Iria walk in the room.
What?
I knew you would when you walked in. That one song. That's about trouble.
I see.
We need Eden here to help out with that one.
Yeah, she would understand.
I mean Molly.
Yes, that's right, James. We're real people. We're not characters.
Untrue.
Yeah, that demon's going to come back and just... Yeah, it's going to suck. But anyway.
I mean, I already miss her, frankly, perversely enough.
I love that Sten really foreshadowed it perfectly. He's like, I'm sure there'll be no situation in which we are forced into in which I have to do this.
I liked how I forgot that I was supposed... Well, God, now I forget again what I actually said.
I free you or something?
Yeah, it was like, yeah, I free you or yeah, whatever. Whatever. And now I forgot it. And like... I liked that James was just like, no, it seems in character for Sten to possibly forget. I felt sure I was going to, God, so many things could have gone wrong.
If you'd beefed that line, I guess you just would have stabbed yourself in the stomach, wouldn't you?
That would have been pretty hilarious.
Jesus Christ, James. All right, Winter, how did you feel about all that?
Oh, I was certain it was going to be a party wipe. Like, this is where we all die. We're going to lose all the kobolds and at least two party members. But actually, Sariel didn't play a very big role in that fight. I rolled very, very poorly on my initiative. I think it actually might have been a critical fail. I don't really remember. I have the memory of a goldfish. You guys had it mostly handled by the time Sariel even kind of started to make moves.
Although you did keep the murder puppies alive, which is very important thing to do.
Yes.
That was key.
I think this was also the first fight that Sariel really dropped quite a few healing spells. I'm more or less the party's healer, but I'm super stingy with the spells.
Yeah, I mean, if I could just say real quick, when you started dropping heals at higher levels, I'm like, and you dropped multiple, I'm like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, because I can cast, it's a low-level spell, but I can cast it at higher levels. So I can technically just burn all my spells on healing. And now that I have quite a few, I will try to not hoard them quite so bad. You didn't even realize at first that I was capable of doing that, I think. Like, you didn't even realize that, like, all of those points were for you.
Yeah, no, I got so much health. Normally, I like to play that he's just such a worry where he wants to know what everyone can do. And the amount of healing you dropped was so staggering to me that I was a little annoyed, out of character. Like, what the hell? Why don't people tell me what they can do?
I usually let Galena just do the healings, because that's what she's all about.
You could totally show her up now and be like, oh yeah, that's cute. Bam.
No. But
she does magic healing. That doesn't take knowledge. It takes, like, magic.
See? And now she's insulting your abilities. That's why you need to show her up.
Is it insulting or complimenting? I don't know.
Magic takes years of study, honestly, Amanda.
I want to say, and this is barely a criticism, I kind of wish, and I completely understand why Sariel didn't want to do this, because usually it doesn't work out. I was hoping you'd get in there and, like, giant bear wrestle it so that Sten just would not even have to summon a demon, or it would have become this bizarre visual of a dragon being ganged up on by a demon, a giant bear, and a Sten.
That was actually a possibility when Sariel Bear got in there. And the dragon tried to just roll over to where Sten was because it was closer to the portal. It was an option when you make a reaction attack that can be a grapple. So you could have just been like, bear tackle, no.
I think I was most disappointed, though, in that you just didn't become a giant squirrel.
I was trying to fit it in there somewhere, and then it didn't quite work out.
Don't crush her for that. It's a hard situation. Poor squirrel got stomped on.
So much cool stuff. No, I'm giving light tease because so much cool stuff was happening. There wasn't an opportune time to become giant squirrel.
We could have done the most epic squirrel toss ever.
Oh no!
She somehow drank the potion mid-flight. I don't know how that would work.
Oh no! And I'm saying after fight, not necessarily during fight. During fight, that's not very opportune.
What, you mean become a giant squirrel in, like, triumph after the fight?
Sure. Yeah.
Just to experience it. I see. Yeah, yes. I agree. That would have been amazing. But not very Sariel. Like, she's all business and knowledge, wisdom.
Unless she sees kobolds and she's excited.
Fair point.
Yeah, so you thought we were going to need a team wipe. Do you have any other feelings about it? Maybe the results with, was Velarus? Is that, was, how do I say it, James? I always forget it.
Velarus. Slayer of Kin.
Let's just go with Velarus.
I'm going to call him Russ.
Okay, that's fine.
What did you think of Russ turning into a big noodle dragon who's very friendly and happy?
Oh, that was legit. Because I was seriously worried that the kobolds were going to be like, well, he's corrupted, ritualistic murder time. Like, no! No! Got you all the way through this dungeon. So that was quite neat.
Cool. They would never hurt a friend like that. Except they might.
Except they might.
Except when they're dead and they eat their heart.
Are you sure you don't want your heart eaten if you fall in battle?
Sure. Yeah, Ish would much prefer you guys just use that handy little piece of horn fragment and stab him.
Are we talking whether our characters would like their hearts to be eaten if we were to fall in battle, or whether we ourselves would like to have our hearts eaten if we fall in battle?
Because yes.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily be against it, speaking as Eric. Sten, however, would be disgusted. No, that's not true.
Neither of me would want that.
Realistically, though, I don't think I would actually... I mean, I think it'd be weird if someone wanted to eat my heart, but I don't think I'd be particularly averse to it. I mean, I'm an organ donor, I guess. No, if someone kind really wants it. It's probably a decent one.
Well, you're a tall man, so I'm not going to go down that. Never mind. That's just too macabre for me. Any other thoughts, Winter, on the dragon fight?
Nah. Basically that. I wish I had not rolled so garbage for my initiative, but mostly I'm just glad we didn't all die.
Yeah, your heals were good. I just did not realize you were such... You had that ability. Amanda, what did you think of the dragon fight? How did you think it was going to go?
I thought it was probably going to go fine.
Really? You were the only one of us who thought it was okay?
Yeah. I mean, I was just interested in seeing what would happen. I felt like there was enough that we had to work with that would protect us or be useful. Plus, I didn't really want to kill the dragon. I didn't know that was like an actual thing we necessarily had to do. I thought it was just kill the thing from the portal.
I will tell you out of character, just to make you guys feel better about killing the dragon, is that it would have stayed corrupted even after you had broken the portal.
Oh, okay. I felt like we probably wouldn't have died. I was worried that the kobolds might, since that was apparently a prophecy and James was gonna make us all upset by actually having them die, like, written out already.
We tried very hard to counter James's spray bottle moments.
You did a really good job.
Yeah, we took our lumps. So you feel your experience fighting the dragon before. You're like, oh, we got this.
Yeah, but I also have very little sense of mortality in game, I guess. So
I've noticed.
Yeah. I mean, I guess Galena's almost pretty much died before, and that's when I started to realize that you could actually die. The time that Moop died when I was playing, but I wasn't there, so yeah. So I wasn't like too worried actually.
Iria and Amanda both have been blessed by having a relatively lenient, like, doesn't want to kill players capriciously, and fellow players who come to her rescue when she gets very close to death.
So what you're saying is your confidence is bolstered by ignorance.
Slightly.
I don't know about that.
Like, I ain't gonna die. This is gonna work out okay.
You are lucky that none of those tentacles reached down and pulled Iria into the portal.
Well, yeah, and I was say Iria was the one who got closest to the portal. How did you feel about that?
Why did I go up there again?
It stared at you and did some funny biz to your brain, and it lured you closer to it.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of things messing with my brain, whether or not it's fictional or in real life. So that was annoying, but also I like playing out situations where a character's messed up somehow, like super frayed or turned into a toad.
Yeah, I want to say, to your credit, I think you are the player in our game who has, like, the most been possessed or enchanted.
I think that might be Sten.
I don't know, but I'm going to say...
Or maybe by multiple things.
You play it like a champion. I know I'm terrible when it happens. I just feel like five kinds of no good, and you just go for it. So I'm just giving you kudos.
Yeah, I like challenges like that. That's fun. It's fun to ham it. But I think there was another reason why I went up there. I forget why. I think I wanted to, like, stab something or something. I can't remember. Oh, yeah, one of the little guys.
Right,
yeah, you were
right.
Trying to help the
custom ones with special apparatuses. You went to go kill, I think, the shiny, the smooth.
Oh, right.
Because I think Gij was under the assumption that it had a very important role. And he was like, well, go for that one. Maybe that'll give us an advantage.
I think you all suspected that, and it was definitely as a person who's watched Iria in combats many times before, it was a very Iria move to rush into the center of the room and start just murking folk.
Wait, so was there some sort of puzzle or secret to the various organ-faced dudes?
The puzzle was, they look creepy, and so you kill them, and then all of a sudden, the battlefield is littered with landmines.
And then they just come back. But they didn't like, correspond to portals or anything like that?
No, but the eye could only use its scary attack against you if you had more than three of them next to you.
Oh, okay.
They didn't have special functions or abilities?
Oh, so it was like their sense. Okay, I see. That makes sense.
The one with arms could grab you. The other ones could just be like super gross next to you.
I want to make 2 points. And before I get to the point of my, I remembered I had an additional thought about the fight. I just want to say I was pleased, because James lamented it later, that apparently something terrible happens if you get near the portal and it stares into you for too long. And the only two people it happened to was Iria, who wasn't going to stay with the group, and Guiding Wind. And I feel like we unwittingly outsmarted James.
Yeah, I was kind of bummed about that. I was hoping I could lord with that over one of you for a while.
Hey, you never know if Eerie is going to come back and wreck
Well, Whoop handled that for you.
Yeah, and
oh, yeah, right.
James had mentioned it, and I knew that, you know, it probably wouldn't be something that would pop up again. And I was like, well, if Moop didn't destroy the hammer, wouldn't he have additional, you know, holy power or radiant power that we could then thematically just say took care of her problem? But I felt bad in hindsight when I was like, when Geege told Sten that maybe that portal, the broken one, was the one that contained it, and it wasn't. I was like, dang.
It turned out all right.
Yeah, I totally thought that the bad portal was there and its frame broke and the portal escaped. But that was apparently the holy portal, and it was destroyed. So then it no longer, by proximity, no longer contained the bad portal, I guess.
Yeah, which is probably a good thing, because it might be bad if this thing was looking into where the gods hang out.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a preventative measure, or rather restrictive measure for the holy portal to be there.
Wait, what?
Oh, no, I'm saying I thought the godly portal was a sort of safeguard, like putting a powerful anti-evil magic right next to the evil portal. So if it got out, it'd get whammied. That's what I thought it was.
Oh, no. You as characters would know that the dwarves were just like making portals to wherever they could. They had this one super master stonemason who you actually...
sort of know about, huh?
Sort of know about.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, go for it.
I thought Geege's idea was good. I thought it was that there was only one portal, but it was just the one that we could see, and that the other guy may have looked like a portal, but I mean, because it was like swirling and shit, we didn't actually know if there was actually a portal in there, and that there was the actual physical portal was somewhere else, and he'd moved away from it.
Oh, if you had asked me, like, I felt like the way I drew it, it was that way, but like, it had a distinct edge.
It was when you said, like, you can't see a cornerstone in there, I was like, oh, maybe there's no portal in there at all.
Right.
That's kind of what I was going.
Also, absolutely what I meant to say was keystone.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you, Eric, for indulging my misunderstanding.
No, it was good. I thought it was great and ended up working well, because I don't think Sten could have actually gotten to the regular portal, so you got to do something else interesting during that turn.
Indeed. I mean, yeah, I thought it was a good idea, and it made sense, and... it's fun to fail at things sometimes.
Okay, so then I guess now that Iria has left us, how was that, Amanda? I mean, I think we spoke briefly about it before on a previous out-of-character one, but now you've got to walk back in her shoes. Is it sad? Are you excited to be Galena again?
It's a bit of both, I guess. I've been super, like, busy and distracted and tired out lately, so I haven't been able to play Iria with the same amount of vigor that she deserves.
Thank you.
What?
I'm being sassy. I'm saying thank you for not being a vigorous Iria.
No, it would have been fun.
Right.
Agreed.
But yeah, I like playing her. She's really fun. Actually, when I was watching Deadpool, I was like, oh yeah, this is what it's like. But yeah, I will miss her. But I am happy to play Galena again, because I have not given her a run yet in a while. Actually, I had a friend who listens to the podcast, and the last time I saw him, he was like, I can't really tell the difference between Iria and Galena. And I'm just like, what?
No,
I'm not doing this right.
No, clearly, Galena's grumpier. Well, and you're just like, whatever, I do what I want.
Yeah, she's like, everyone's friends. No matter what I do, I'll still have friends. And Galena's like, I don't want to be anyone's friend. But inside, she's like, I want to be everyone's friend.
Yeah, she's a moody teen.
Yeah.
And Iria's a laissez-faire. Did I say that right? Laissez-faire. Iria's a happy-go-lucky rogue who just is not looking where she leaves.
Because she'll always land on something, at least.
For now.
Unless you jump into the elemental plane of air.
Oh, that's true.
I'm glad I didn't walk into the fire completely, but I liked that.
Never mind.
No, what? Sounds like there's more there, James.
Wait.
I'm assuming it would be like a gang initiation where you would have walked in and it would have been awful, but then you would have come out more powerful, because that's how it works.
Oh, that would have been awesome. Now I regret everything.
See, this is why I totally want to spend more time there and get my scroll and then dig a geese-sized hole in the earth portal and take a nap and see if I become stronger. I don't know.
Instead of the fire hazing you, it's called blazing. Blazing.
That's good. Good job. I like that.
I was wildly curious I mean, I don't know if you can tell us, James, or if you want to tell us, but when you said that there was a castle out in the distance, I'm like, man, I really kind of want to talk Russ into flying us all over there.
It's Laputa!
The kobolds probably wouldn't have been about it, but it's definitely an option later in the game if you want to find either another way into the elemental planes or go back here, because it's a pretty handy nexus.
And then we learned Eden was a sky princess.
Wait, so these portals just always... Yeah, I didn't really think about that. I was imagining that the portals were, like, on, triggered by something during the fight, but so they're just kind of sitting there and just hanging out on all the time?
Mm-hmm.
That's the... Those dwarves, man. Just, they build things that last.
It's one
solid
thing to,
work.
It's one thing to build a frame you can put a picture in. It's another thing to build a magic frame that would work like a TV. But you go the extra step and you build a magic frame that just acts as a freaking portal to an entirely different plane of existence.
And that's just on all the
and
time.
And it's just on all the time. That's dwarf engineering.
That's pretty good. I didn't really take a moment to respect that until just now.
Yeah.
I'm actively respecting it as we speak.
If you thought about it while you were there in character, you would be like, this place seems kind of like a showroom.
Hmm. So are you implying that there was larger portals elsewhere?
Possibly. You certainly know that there was at least one portal being used for utility in the mushroom place.
Right, because they use water. Right. Yeah, I was super tempted if, you know, fight went that way to just run over to the water portal, do a quick roll around in the water, and then just get ready to fight it again, the dragon.
That would not have been the worst idea.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what else do we want to talk about? So Eric then had to leave one of his mushroom babies behind. How do you feel about
that?
He did.
Well, significantly better than I did about the time my mushroom baby died. That was truly tragic. So, I don't know, bittersweet. I look forward to the mushrooms broadening their horizons. And I'm going to keep that promise to return in a year and collect him. And think of the new things he'll have experienced. It's actually very exciting. I think Sen's okay with it. And I mean, that's a great place for the mushroom to be. Unless those mushrooms were lying out their ass to us, which I don't think they're really capable of doing. Pretty good mushroom spot.
At least it is now that there's not an imminent threat to their existence.
Well, right. Well, that imminent threat was like, what did they say, how long it would last? Like 100 years or something like that? So it wasn't even that imminent.
That's true. To them, it was an imminent.
Yeah. Because their lives transcend ours.
Yeah, given how long they exist, and the ones back in Eden's Lucky Coin, I guess they're digging their way down. I have this idea that I'm sure James will never allow us to do, and that like the Myconids meet more Myconids, and they form this sort of vast subterranean mega hive, and then we're just like, wherever we go, we hear Myconids beneath us, and it's just this horrible sort of Eldritch horror that we know and welcome.
And then the party brings about the end of the world through a massive Myconid psychic resonance.
Hey now. Hey
but
now.
They're nice. It's not that horrifying.
No.
What's so wrong
clearly,
with it?
Clearly, our vast Myconid friend/army will be just what we need when the evil arises again or we have to fight Illithids or Drows or something.
I think that apocalypse would be more like they bring everyone into the dream. So much so that everybody dies, but their consciousness stays in the dream. So, like, the world is empty and dead, except for these tunnels where everybody continues to dream on together.
I already enjoy the world.
Except they never, like, mate, presumably, so everyone dies, basically, within a single generation.
Oh, well, the Myconids wouldn't kill them without having a way to keep their brains alive somehow.
Oh, okay. So, what's the problem? This sounds
it's,
good.
It's,
it would
it's
just
the
change the nature of existence a little bit.
Yeah.
It's the Matrix with mushrooms.
Mm-hmm. Well, Matrix, but they're also, yeah, but they're not being, like, malicious, necessarily.
Right.
They're not using the bodies for anything. They're just how it is now.
And happy dreams. I'm all for the world is a myth lore. I love that idea. So, this isn't a problem to me.
Yeah, what if we're already in this universe living as mushroom vines, and then within that universe, so it's actually, like, five layers of mushrooms deep.
Oh, no.
Except in the layer above, it isn't mushrooms, it's, like, humans. But they act like mushrooms.
How many layers of dreams are you on right now, my friend? I don't know, like two or three. You were like a baby. Watch this. Hello.
Indeed.
That's just a bad meme. Don't worry.
So one thing I do need to think of is exactly what game-changing reward you get once you fulfill all the mushrooms' desires.
Wait, this is a side quest?
Side quest. Do what the mushrooms want.
I didn't even realize.
Although you've already lost 1/4 of the reward.
Oh my god, James. Sad. That's clearly your fault.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, I don't know. I'm just going to blame you anyway.
Maybe that mushroom's wish was to die.
No, it wasn't. It really wasn't.
Look, man. Look, man. You don't know that Spots. It was Spots, right? Spots?
Mm-hmm.
You don't know that Spots isn't going to turn into truffles and grow back stronger from all the frog corpses. Yes. Clearly, he wanted to go through his own mushroom puberty and become truffles. And he just loved Glenda's song. This is what it meant. And you cannot tell me otherwise, James.
Oh, okay. I kind of like it because truffles are kind of like, they're like sort of like underground mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of like a dead, you know, it's a good like symbolic name for a mushroom that was buried.
Oh my God, he's a revenant.
What is that?
He's a Myconid revenant. Yeah.
What is a Myconid revenant? I was going to compare him to ghost. Some sort of beautiful mushroom phoenix who rises from the ashes.
No, but I guess like Revenant's this new idea cool. much better. He's just an undead mushroom.
Okay, is that good?
It is because he still has his soul. He's going to go and do good in the world, or in the Feywild, at least.
Yes, so he's Truffles.
That is actually a really great name for an undead Myconid.
Truffles.
Yeah, I like it.
Well, I mean, I look forward to what treasure we, and more accurately, Sten, gets from Putin.
Ooh, yeah. Sorry, and Snuffles, his steed, would be like an albino rabbit, so like the red eyes.
Mm.
Right? I guess the white is sort of non... Well, no, albino rabbits look kind of deathly.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, this is good. This Snuffles and Truffles lore is getting deep.
Is this some pale horseman thing?
Exactly. Yeah,
it's perfect.
Yeah.
Okay,
pale bunnyman.
Pale bunnyman. So I'm going to divert from topic for a little bit. And hey, Winter, didn't you say a while back you wanted to play a different character?
Yeah, that was the plan, that we would finish out this arc and then Sariel would go do something else. Maybe go back to the library.
Read some manga.
Read some manga. Go be whatever the Nilahawk equivalent of a weeaboo is.
What would that be? I'm sorry, go on.
And we made some progress with this to the point where we were kind of talking about what character I would probably play. And life just kind of got real busy. It kind of got real busy. So in the interest of maintaining my sanity, we kind of put a pause on that. And as much as it would have been sort of fun to have a change of pace and play someone different for a while, I am very okay with just continuing to be Sariel.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many more ways to sass.
Wait, what?
I'm trying to think of how to express it. Plus, part of why I wanted to play someone other than Sariel for a little bit was just kind of for the change of pace. But as Sariel's just with the crew and she changes as a person, like she's not a stagnant character.
Yeah.
So there's still lots of potential there for cool stuff to happen.
I want to say that she's growing and that kind of everyone in the group is sort of growing with each other.
Yeah.
It's something I try and do in my Guige notes. And for those who read it, like Sariel is a point for Guige where he's like, I want to get to know this person just because I feel like he's made a bad impression on her. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like in terms of Sariel, you know, as an older elf, she views life very differently. So for her, it's a matter of, you know, do I want to get to know these people when I'm so used to people just, you know, getting old and dying?
I'm chewing it over. Because Sariel's still relatively young for an elf, but pretty old compared to the rest of the party.
I don't know if you were in character when you said, but you've made a few remarks here and there in the past about how she's going to outlive everyone. But it's
yeah, but that would be whether or not she's an elf. Hey, y'all are walking liabilities.
Wait, what? Whether she's an elf.
Sariel will probably outlive all of you whether or not she would be an elf.
Oh,
yeah.
Because she's smarter than y'all.
I'll have you know, Guige has done very good for himself. But anyway, but I'm saying more so that comparison came up when we met Iria and you two met and you're like, oh, you're a baby. You're a baby elf.
Yeah, Iria is small Bob.
I have a question for Sariel.
Does
Sariel ever think fondly upon her time with the blonde elf in the clearing by the...
Lorien?
Oh, yeah. My.
Does she ever think about Lorien?
Probably, yeah.
Aww.
I imagine at least some part of the evenings as Sariel is prepping for bed is just kind of spent in reflection. Sariel has met quite a few people. She's made a lot of connections. And
connections? Is that what we're calling?
And it probably is oddly like kind of bittersweet for her because she probably has seen quite a few people she likes die. Just outlived them.
Should I stop bringing back NPCs who are like no. super old?
Oh god.
It's like, yay, I knew you when I was young.
No, it's fine. A little bit of angst is good, probably.
Like the older, what was he? The guy who played the instrument in the, was it the Gilded Cage?
Yeah.
The Gilded Sage, yeah.
Gilded Sage. No, the episode was Cage. Yeah, no, I guess Sariel has the whole the doctor thing going on, where it's like, all my friends die.
She tries to be zen about it, 'cause she's an elf, and like, that's just kind of how things go. She knows that. But she is still a relatively young elf, so it probably still, it's still sad.
Mm.
So I still can't convince you to play Kender, huh?
Build
a whole new character around it.
Oh, Kender.
The way you play every week. I'm
kidding. Oh, jeez. I guess just to kind of tease it a little bit, because the idea is not completely out the window of me playing a different character at some point. It probably would have been a ranger.
Oh, that would be cool. Yeah, I don't think we've had a ranger yet.
Yeah, a ranger, or Mark was kind of putting out the idea of maybe a monk kind of heavily.
Ooh, that'd be neat.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, was it Horizon Walker? Are they the ranger? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that would have been
that was
most likely
class,
that.
From Xanathar's, right?
Something like that, yeah.
Oh, I'd probably have gone like full into it and been like, well, I'm going to make you a whole custom class because I'm a crazy person. I actually had a question regarding the questions of who your characters are. I know it wasn't a crazy revelation for anybody, but like the knowledge somewhat as to the nature of your guys' characters that you uncovered.
You mean us being elementals of some sort?
Mm-hmm.
What do our characters think of that?
Well, you and your characters.
Let's start with Eric.
Well, I mean, obviously this isn't new to Sten. The thing what's new to Sten is that the others are elementals, and that he fits into like the part of a greater whole, maybe, perhaps. Who knows? I mean, it's still very much a mystery. But yeah, I mean, Sten's obviously used to the idea that there's something going on with him and Fire, so it's not a huge revelation there. But I think he's probably excited that, you know, there's at least a thread to pull on now.
And plus, you know, he kind of was already, like, turning into Fire, so.
No, that's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah. He kind of knew something was there.
Yeah. So I did like the portals moment because I liked how I was like mad at the fire. And I like the fire and I have like this grumpy relationship with each other, which is very appropriate for fire. So I liked that.
I was kind of hoping that you would jump into it.
Damn it. Now I wish I would too.
What would happen, James?
I can't tell you. I just, as a DM, I wish you had. It would have been interesting.
Well now I
he
wish I'd
died.
He would have died and then come back as like a fireman.
That does fall under interesting. Oh, a fireman.
Stand in like a fireman's hat.
Not what I was expecting, but okay.
Holding it's a hose.
like Fortnite 451, instead of doing actual water, though, he just burns things.
Yeah.
Next is Winter. Wait, is Sariel an elemental?
Yeah, this whole thing just kind of goes over Sariel's head.
So Sariel actually might know that she's not like one of the four elements. That's for sure, but she knows probably more concretely than anyone that she's spirit touched. Like, she is a subset of people who has a connection to the Feywild that's very strong.
Ye.
Wait, did I not make that clear when we were
talking? Oh, no, like, no, I very much get that.
I really like that hesitant ye.
Yeah, it was real hesitant.
Ye.
I do get that. That's the whole, that's how a druid do.
But is it, though? Because it sounds like James is saying it's a very special thing, not necessarily just druids.
No, like James literally just said, it's an entire like subset of people. That's how a druid do.
Yeah. But I'm saying...
How many druids are there?
Are all those people druids? Like, there's like Eric just suggested, is there a small section of druids? Like, do you have to have that to be a druid?
Well, no, I was asking, like, how many druids... Like, are there just not that many druids at all?
Mm-hmm.
The latter. There are just not that many druids at all.
Ah, okay. We don't know how your elf customs work. We're just ignorant city folk.
It's cool. There's not many chosen ones either.
I mean, I think Galena knows quite a bit that she's an elemental, but she's been coy about it. Even, I guess her octopus tattoo is related to that. But how does it? Would this hasn't really been a revelation for her, right, Amanda?
Oh, well, I don't think she knows at all because she wasn't there.
She doesn't know she's a water elemental?
Well, she knows she can do stuff with water.
Right. How does she think she does that?
She thinks she just has magic.
Oh, I mean, okay, that's true. Yeah, we do have magic in our world.
That is one of the things is, for Eden, she can very easily explain to herself that she just learned magic and can do it, and then her magic is bad, and that's why it doesn't work as well.
Mm-hmm.
And for Galena, it's similar. She knows magic, and like, oh, I learned a spell. Neat. I can move water around. And even for Sten, this is a thing that happens to me, not a thing that I can
do. Right, 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 right.
And the same with Guige. It's something that happens to him, not something that he controls.
Right. As soon as Glenn had said, you have rocks in your eyes, I was like, ah, okay, that explains it.
I have a question, actually, about that. What can Guige do with Earth? Like, has he done anything?
Similar to Sten, but I guess maybe not so much in the same ways that he just thinks he's cursed. He didn't really have magic until he went and became a paladin. And it wasn't until Galena told him that he had quartz in his eyes that he realized that in any way there was some sort of physical, physical quality that was causing it. I don't know. I don't think he can do anything with Earth. The only things I think that Guige has done with Earth besides have quartz is he uses a sling and slings rocks.
He moves rocks pretty quick, actually.
Oh, really? Is that a thing?
You move as fast as any other sling.
Oh, okay.
He did try to make friends with a rock friend.
Right, yeah. I spoke to Bridges, hoping to become comrades. Well, maybe at some point we'll all get trapped in a cave, and I'll touch the ground and make the rocks float, and then I'll be a Jedi.
Not with that kind of attitude.
Yeah, Guige doesn't get it. He's like Sten. He's not really educated on all this magic stuff. He just thinks he was cursed. And I believe in one of his recent Guige notes, he gets that we're apparently special, but he doesn't quite understand it, especially because he's from a place where having a positive outlook is very alien to him. So he's like, I guess we're special. I mean, maybe we have greater fates, and hopefully it's not that we're sacrificial lambs, and that's the extent of it.
Sacrificial murder puppies.
Well, no, we're not puppies. We're not cute enough to be murder puppies.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Sten was literally a puppy for a little bit.
It's true.
Does Sariel feel she's a puppy?
I mean, Sariel could probably literally become a puppy.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Is this our first, like, group slang word? It's like...
The puppies?
Like, instead of saying, like, lit or, like, extra, we refer to, like, cute, dangerous things as murder puppies.
Sounds good to me.
That sounds good. I like
it. I felt it's already been established. Seeing as we have
used it several times.
Yeah, seeing as we have a habit of befriending things that are trying to kill us.
I thought you were saying that our nickname for our group would be the puppies, which I would also be 100% in favor of.
I'm not quite feeling that.
No, I had a feeling you might not.
I think we could have a cooler name. What else did we want to talk about?
The cats. Yeah.
What cats?
That is our name.
Oh, the cats. Too easy.
Just cats.
The cat sacks.
the mushroom friends? What? I feel like mushroom friends is not bad.
The fun guys.
Whoa.
Yeah, all right. Terrible pun, but in context, it does work.
You have to show people the mushrooms before you can tell them your name and pose.
And then the mushrooms die because we pulled them out in the sun.
Yeah, it's problematic. You could always get like tabards with mushrooms on them.
It's worth the joke. Just kidding.
Poor mushrooms.
That would be terrible. So how did you guys feel about your first extended dungeon crawl?
I liked it a good deal, actually. I particularly liked the oozes. And incidentally, on a personal anecdote, so Sten and Eric both very much liked the idea of there being like a single ooze entity that these oozes are all a part of. They're puddings, or are they oozes or puddings?
All puddings are oozes, but not all oozes are puddings.
Wait, what are these then? Are they oozes?
They were black puddings, so they're oozes, puddings. Both oozes and puddings.
Oh, okay. So recently I had an ant infestation in my actual house, which we sadly had to kill with poison. But in doing so, I identified that the ant is an Argentine ant, is what was infesting us. And apparently these ants are unique in that they don't fight other colonies of Argentine ants, and they actually, like, cooperate. So it's quite possible they are all... And they're on, like every continent except Antarctica. This is one mega colony, so if you, like, drop an ant from, like, America and, like, Europe, they get along fine and work together.
Those things are wild.
Yeah, so there's, like, a possibility that this is all essentially, like, if colony itself is, like, conscious, it's possible that this entire collection of colonies all shares a consciousness, or at least, you know, maybe little big groups of them per continent, which is sort of like the oozes, and sort of fascinating.
Oh, anyway, man, that was a really long... their list, though.
Well, oh, that's true.
Poisoning a bunch.
It's like the don't f*** with the squirrels, Morty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now you've done it.
Yeah. No, but I liked them. Oh, I did kill some. But I feel like if they're that big, I feel like all we did was like kind of push them. I mean, it's like such a small amount of death that like they wouldn't even notice. I'd just be like kind of gently nudging them out. And if they need anything, if they actually came and asked me, by like spelling something out in like ant form, like, yo, buy us some raw materials. I would 100% buy them the raw materials. So ants, if you're listening, I'm in. Like, if you need anything, let me know. I'm in.
This is wild.
I'd be open to harmonious coexistence with a giant subterranean ant society.
Right. They seem good. They seem cool. They don't do anything really bad other than eat all your cat food.
That's a little weird. I think Amanda's scarred, though. What were you going to say, Amanda?
Oh, no. I just suddenly ants. And Eric has thought very much about this. And I'm wondering what substances he's been taking to make this so.
No, this is. Like,
this is just natural, Eric. This is just how it is. Natural. All the time.
Natural.
You guys
clearly
have a predilection to making friends with weird, creepy things underground.
Yes. Yes. Anyway, I like that was the question about the dungeon crawl. But the first thing we encountered really was those oozes, and that's just what I...
James, so how did you like the dungeon crawl, Eric? So let me tell you about ants.
Yes.
It's not the wrong answer.
It had a moral.
It did. So, anyway, I'm fascinated by those oozes, and I want to know more.
So the next ooze you see is going to spell out, like, bring me virgins.
Okay, that's f***ed up. I'm not doing that.
And then it denies friendship.
If it was bring the ants, eggs.
Then. Okay, to be clear, what I was imagining the ants would be asking for like manuals about how to build a house or like, you know, information, not sacrifices. I would not. Okay, I'm going on record. I will not sacrifice anyone to ants.
Good. I was worried about Long Max.
The Jesus.
Oh, no.
Oh, Long Max. No.
I thought Eric was saying that the ants were spelling out, please bring us 2x4s and wood screws. And glue and stuff like that.
That's what I was imagining. Or like help lifting things and things like that. By the way, Long Max update. Long Max was, I was coming home the other day from the grocery store, walking home, and I see Long Max approaching. I'm like, hey, Max. And he comes up to me and drops a dead hummingbird at my feet, which I was thanks, Max.
Aww.
I saw him like sparring with the hummingbird earlier. I guess he got the better of it.
That foolish hummingbird.
I know.
Shouldn't have taken on a cat.
And it was taking him on too. It was like attacking him. Hummingbirds can be like surprisingly aggressive, actually.
Yeah,
hummingbirds are little assholes. To his doom. Yeah, yeah, he did not win that fight.
Yeah, rip.
But I appreciated Max. I appreciated Max's donation. It was very kind of him.
He clearly thinks you're an incompetent hunter.
He's correct. I'm giving things to ants. They just come up and ask me for things, and I give it to them.
That's why you had an infestation.
I mean, that is actually exactly why I had an infestation, yes.
I take it that was Eric's answer somehow for what he thought of the dungeon.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Sorry, let's move on. I apologize.
He liked the pudding, and he wanted to give the pudding to the ants.
Yes.
What did you think of the dungeon, Winter?
I enjoyed it, just as kind of an overall experience. It was super stressful because kobolds, but no, it was fun.
I did want to give you the impression of being ground down as you were trying to get somewhere. But I also wanted the sense of risk and reward. Whatever you find is really freaking good if you take the risk to find something.
It was fine. It was interesting. I don't know. It was like not being in a dungeon, except we were in a dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how I felt about it.
So regarding the feeling of like both being in and not being in a dungeon at the same time, initially I wanted to give you a room-to-room straight classic dungeon crawl, and then to take you away from that because I actually wanted you to make any progress and this season to not be 69 episodes long
of dungeon crawl.
All dungeon crawl.
69.
69. It would the joke would wear thin over a little while. But then to go from that to a more narrative, like just you are going through this place and constantly dealing with dangers and occasionally running into specific stuff. When you put those against each other, did you like one better? I'm genuinely curious. It was an experiment of mine.
Are you asking Amanda? Are you asking everyone? Or are you asking me?
I'm asking Amanda first and then throwing the question to everyone in addition, because I don't want it to just be like, did you have fun?
Mm-hmm.
It's more like, I'm trying something weird. What did you think about it?
Okay, so let me clarify. Are you talking about the situation where we had like the
where we had to satisfy particular tasks with our roles?
I forget what that's called,
skills challenge.
Skills,
yeah, the skills challenges versus just like the part where we were going through the library and stuff.
Yeah,
I was fine with the skills challenges. I felt like that was a good way to get us through a place fast. But I did like the part with the library because it felt a little bit more, I don't know, tense, but in like a good way.
Hmm.
I guess I just don't like fast forwarding because I like having the RP moments.
Hmm. I guess my answer is similar to Amanda's in that I like the structure that the Cold Forge gave us, or the library, was Cold Forge library. The whole thing was called Cold Forge. I like the structure that gave us. It helps, you know, it feels like there's something tangible. The freeform is a little more difficult, but I, at the same time, I enjoy being creative. I definitely felt ground down because those skills challenges, because we refused to offer up any of our kobolds for sacrifice. Oh yeah, those ground us down. And it sucked not having hit dice. That drove me a little nuts. But then very much I'm like, holy crap, these treasures are awesome. And apparently we're rich now, so we'll see what happens with that. But if I had to pick between the two, I think I like the structure. The structured sort of dungeon that feels... I think it's just easier for everyone to grasp.
Yeah, good to know. Winter?
I actually kind of have to chew this over. I enjoyed both of them for different reasons. Roleplay-wise, going room to room is definitely a little easier. Roleplay kind of happens a little bit more organically, I guess. It just feels a little more natural. But I can see where that would have taken a lot longer for us to get anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I think the skills challenge was a very good way to just move us quickly through things. And then the way we were prompted to just kind of come up with our scenarios still let us do a lot of role-playing and have a lot of fun with it. Especially with Sten's, like, creative interpretations of what things meant.
Damn it.
No, some great stuff came out of that.
It's true.
Maybe some of the best stuff came out of that.
And actually, I want to throw it back to Eric, if you don't mind. Did you have any thoughts about the different style?
Yeah, I do. Thank you for asking, James.
Mm-hmm.
I guess what I like about the skill challenge thing is sort of the, like I think was mentioned, like the creativity aspect is really fun. What I didn't like about it was specifically combining it with navigation. Like, I think I mentioned this before, actually. I just didn't get like a strong sense of like place or like where exactly we were. Just because there isn't like sort of anything like anchoring us to be, you know, traversing in any particular way over each like quote unquote turn. But I do like the, I don't know, it was like, it is some of the more like fun, playful stuff we did. So I definitely like the skills challenges. I don't know if I would have, I feel like if in terms of like actual navigation, I would have preferred like more of a like sense of like location, if that makes sense.
No, that definitely makes a lot of sense. It's something that I decided to just try out and see if it works, mm-hmm. because I knew I wanted you to travel long distance and I didn't want to spend forever doing it.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Very reasonable.
Because we already, we basically did like 15 episodes in the dungeon.
It's a big dungeon. I mean, it was sort of like two separate stages of dungeon too.
There was dungeon and then there was giant vast undercity that was broader dungeon.
Yeah, and I wanted to do those separate styles to see if they both worked. And I guess they do. And I feel like maybe that's just the way to do it, is to only if you need to traverse long distances that you just kind of can't map out because they are so huge.
I will say, and this brings me to two points, a good way, there is a harder sense of grasping where we are, but the part where you fought Zil Nihiroth, I feel because like you had that little combat zone, it was easier to get that idea of that leg of the journey. So maybe if there is at least sort of like a sort of quote-unquote resting spot, sort of like the garden, but the garden didn't really have, it didn't feel as present. It helps actualize the journey of going through these different areas. And I guess Zil Nihiroth really stuck out because we went into combat there. So we had to get pretty familiar with the area and we had the closet and whatnot.
Yeah, I think that mostly falls on my lack of any viable art skills. So it just boils down to me like getting a square out there and being like, you're in a room, maybe.
Oh, I mean, well, we don't need, you know, really nice visuals, just like here's a wall, here's an area. Yeah, I don't know. I guess maybe it's my own failing, but there were times where I had trouble understanding what we were looking at visually. And I guess maybe just because the idea of an undercity is kind of alien. And my second thought was I really want to go back and kill Zil Nihiroth because he's so friggin' rude.
That I love how much he got on your nerves. And all of us, but especially you.
Oh my God. I wanted, like, that tickled you, didn't it, James? Like, you got a kick out of how much it annoyed Geege.
Yeah, but I didn't make him do it anymore because it annoyed Geege. That was just his character.
Yeah, no, I know. But I remember you had commented, it's just like he wasn't an asshole, to be frank. And I wanted to beat up a beholder and then harvest his body for like very cool objects. That's kind of macabre. Let's move on.
You didn't have to let him go.
It was smarter to let him go.
It was smarter.
Yeah. If you want, you can talk about how, I mean, you're going to produce the Galena standalone for like, it's not as a bonus, right?
So, yeah, I'm going to do a Galena standalone episode, just what she's been up to in town. Probably mostly role-playing, hopefully not getting murdered by ninjas. Who knows?
I'm pretty funny, so it probably won't be boring. All of you guys will be blown away by my stunning brilliance and off the top of my head thinking and problem solving.
I'm sold.
You are I'm sold. So good.
Yep. Everybody, it's just the Galena show now. We don't need anyone else. I'm just kidding. Yeah. Yeah. So I guess there were some concerns about it.
No, there's no concerns.
Well, for me, like...
Oh, you had concerns.
Yeah, but I think it will be fine.
I think it'll be great.
But you can email us with any complaints or praise.
You only say that because you won't see them.
Yeah. I won't see them. Well, actually, that's a good thing to bring up is, do we have any emails, James?
We actually, even though I told people to get mad at me about all the rules I'm breaking, we only got one, which was from Caitlin Hamilton. And she writes, first off, I absolutely love you guys, which, hey, thanks. That's really nice to say, and it makes us feel good and feel better about doing this. We're all apparently doing an incredible job. She was on Season 2, Episode 4 at the time. She had a suggestion from one druid to another that I should not be breaking the rules and making Sariel go unconscious when she gets beat down as a bear. And I may have not made this super clear to the listeners or to Sariel until more recently, but I always felt that it's weird that druids, if you play them right, can get almost 150 HP soak without any danger to them by just like turning into a creature with a lot of HP and just getting whomped on, and then once they go down, they're full health again, and then they can just change into an animal again. And so, especially when Sariel's turning into a spider or something and might get stepped on, I want that to feel dangerous. But I have done a little bit of work making her forms a little bit tougher in general, just as she levels up. And also reminding her that she doesn't have to stay in form all the time. And if she switches out before she's unconscious, she only takes half as much damage as she did have when she was in the form. Basically, if she was at like almost no health and changes back to Sariel, she's at half health now.
This is kind of interesting that this came up, because before this episode, Mark and I were talking about just sort of our party's tanks and how I kind of function as an off tank. And I'm gonna, like, you can actually cut this out if you want, because it's sort of off topic. In the game Overwatch, in the game Overwatch, one of the characters I play primarily is called D.Va. And I made the comparison that Sariel is a lot like playing D.Va, because that particular, that particular character has a giant mech. And when the mech takes, you know, full damage, you pop out and you're just a little, you're the girl that pilots the mech who's got like 150 HP. She's got pretty low HP. But if you do a bunch of damage, you can get back in the mech. That's a little bit like Sariel being a bear.
That was our Overwatch podcast.
That's
your magic bear mech exploded. Now the elf girl has jumped down. She's running around shooting thorns.
That is pretty much how straight D&D 5e druids work, though.
Now I need to go draw some terrible fan art. That was my kind of clumsy explanation as to how I view my role as sort of an off tank in the game.
No, it's close to that, but not exactly. But that was our rules corner. If that's all we have to talk about, we're good. We're good.
I think so.
Oh, I do have a question.
Okay,
James, when can I get an airship?
Never. I mean,
no.
Narratively, you have to make that your goal. Like, if that's what you want, like, you need to start taking steps towards that now.
James, all I'm saying is, as an Earth Elemental, it makes perfect sense that I get an airship.
It makes sense if you're afraid of your powers.
Yeah. If you never want to touch the ground again, and that's just like Gigi's phobia now.
I just want to be the captain of a cool airship.
You need to get a cooler hat. A more flippy uppy hat rather than like a wide brim one.
Well, maybe I'll just buy that when I get my airship. But yeah, anyway, I'm sorry.
You just need to like hot curl your hat. It'll be fine.
So I guess that's all we have for emails. Just, you know, one sort of rules corner question. If you guys do have any questions, Any praises? Any curiosities? Complaints? Hate mail? Probably not hate mail. Where should they send it, James?
SometimesHeroesPod@gmail.com. But we have gotten just a couple things on Twitter and various messages on Facebook and the like, just saying we've been doing a good job.
Oh, snap.
Which is always nice.
Why, thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everybody. That does feel good.
But did you want to give some Patreon thanks now?
Oh, yeah. Good call. So I will do a Patreon thing because there are some people who give us money, and that's wild. The support that you guys gave us and give us now financially and, you know, honestly, emotionally helps us keep doing this in the long hours of editing. Yeah, so
it can be rough.
A special thanks to our Patreon patrons who have now been supporting us for a whole year. Sarah Likens and Amanda Clay. Your support is so appreciated. And way back when we were just starting this and we didn't know whether we were going to keep doing it or whether people were even listening, having someone come in and be like, your thing is worth money, was a real boost. We also have some new patrons, and Alec A., thank you very much. And
that's my friend.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Hi,
Alec. What up, Alec?
Thank you, Amanda's friend.
And a fellow James, James Doyle. Thank you.
Thank you, other James.
Hi, fellow James.
He's not a fellow James to you. It's mine. It's mine.
James. You have to kill him now.
I do.
What? Another James. No!
I need to get his power.
You fool, fellow James. You should not have donated. Now he's on to you.
There can only be one James.
That would be James, really rough. There's lots of Jameses.
James Patron, come to me and I'll defend you. I'll protect you from RGM.
It's good to hide behind Mark. I lose a lot of my fury when I come at him. So thank you all for your support. And if you enjoy Sometimes Heroes but can't support us on Patreon for any reason or just don't want to,
ask your mom to do it.
Yes, ask your mom. You can help us out by rating us on iTunes or Stitcher or whatever you listen to us on, and leave a review if you can. And even more importantly, share it with your friends. Tell people that we're cool, even if you have to cross your fingers behind your back.
We're super cool.
Yeah, we're relatively cool.
Sharing the podcast is always a big help, as it helps expand the audience and just, you know, gets our story and our hard work into more people's ears.
Yeah. So, Mark, let's take us out of this.
All right. Well, I guess that's all for the Out of Character episode. I think this is 30.5, James.
Yeah. And we'll see you guys next week on Sometimes Heroes.
Bye.
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 Find out next time on Sometimes Heroes.